This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Thursday afternoon, March 21st. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Chicago's famed Tavern on Rush is making a comeback at a new location. We'll talk to the restaurant's owner in our next segment. But right now, reports on home sales and jobless benefits are out today as we digest the latest interest rate decision from the Federal Reserve. We're joined by Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. Diane, thank you for joining us today. And before we dive into the numbers, especially when it comes to unemployment and home sales, your take on Chairman Powell's take on the economy at the end of yesterday's Fed policy meeting?
Well, they see their economy is stronger, inflation a little bit hotter, and they're not quite as anxious to cut rates over the next 3 years as they were earlier, but they do think we've hit a peak in rates, and the median forecast is still that they will actually cut rates three times. It was sort of notable that we actually had 9 of the 19 participants at the meeting actually saying two rate cuts or less, even though the median forecast is still for 3 rate cuts this year. They're really seeing remarkable resilience in the U.S. economy, and they're willing to sort of quell inflation with a slow grind and bring down rates very slowly rather than suffer a recession, which is a big 180 from where they were in 2022, thinking that they had to have a recession in order to get rid of inflation. They'd rather take it slow now, given how much progress we have made, than have the double pain of higher interest rates and a higher unemployment rate.
Now, all the numbers say the economy is on very strong footing, increases in inflation aside, but the sentiment surveys suggest that people are about as dissatisfied as they've ever been. And is one reason behind that sense of dissatisfaction the fact that borrowing costs are higher for the average consumer?
Well, it's borrowing costs, and it's also the level of prices, right? Even though the pace of inflation has slowed, let's face it, even where we've seen declines in prices, the prices are still much higher than they were in 2019. And I think that is something that is really important. And even though inflation is now less than wage gains and people are getting sort of restoring their purchasing power lost to inflation, they're still feeling like they're having to work extra hard to get there. And they want to see improvements in their living standards much more rapidly, and I think that's important as well. We also know that political polarization has filtered into everything we do now, including the lens through which we see the economy. That's unfortunate, but it is a reality and a fact of life of where we are. It's even into our personal relationships. The number one reason women say that they break up with a partner is because of partisanship. The number one reason a man breaks up with a partner is because of weight gain.
The idea of breaking up with a partner because of partisanship, that was literally a plot line of a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about 20 years ago. And now it's real life. Very quickly, let's talk about home sales in the month of February, jumping 9.5% month over month, still down year over year. It appears that people are spending their way through those higher mortgage rates.
Well, in fact, you know, this is, remember, these are homes that people bid on when we had the rally in interest rates and everyone was front-running the Fed back in December and November of last year. And so they locked into those mortgage rates a little bit lower. And in fact, every time we see mortgage rates go above 7%, the activity in the housing market slows down a bit. So this is really a reflection of that sort of extraordinary enthusiasm about rate cuts that we saw at the end of 2023. And the fact that we actually saw people both list homes more, the supply of housing is picking up, and there's a lot of pent-up demand. 12,000 millennials every single day are turning 35 years old. That's your peak home buying years.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the return of a legendary Chicago restaurant and bar.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There was a lot of sadness and nostalgia when the famous Tavern on Rush closed nearly a year and a half ago, but now we have some happy news involving the legendary Chicago restaurant and tavern. Welcome in Phil Stefani, owner of the Stefani Restaurant Group, the restaurateur behind Tavern on Rush, and version 2.0 is opening at 1015 North Rush later this summer, sometime in June. Phil, thank you for joining us today. Is there any significance to where you are placing the reborn Tavern on Rush outside of just familiarity with the neighborhood?
Yes. We were offered at closing back in October of 22. Calls from all over the city offering us a spot where to go into. But I felt that Tavern on Rush could only be on the corner of Rush and Bellevue. And we were finally able to work out a deal with the Thompson Hotel, which we're excited to be in, and have our own separate, entrance and our own separate place on that corner. So really, we're not moving too far. So
when the original establishment closed in October of 2022, it sounded like you were in a dispute with your landlord over the space, and that resulted in the closure. In the nearly 2 years since then, was it always your intention to reopen, or was it just that last minute burst of nostalgia that said, hey, maybe this brand does have a second life to it?
No, it was always so. Going back to what you first mentioned is, our lease had ended. We had a 25-year run, which is a beautiful run, and the landlord decided to go his own way, and we accepted that. And the point was that we always wanted to reopen. I always had an eye on that corner, which was the old, which was a Nico space run by the hotel. It took a little longer to negotiate the deal, but that was the only place we even considered. We weren't going to open a Tavern on Rush someplace else. It had to be on that corner. So
we're talking about the resurrected Tavern on Rush coming this summer with Phil Stefani, owner of the Stefani Restaurant Group. With 18 months away, are you using that time to think of maybe some ways you could build upon what Tavern on Rush delivered during that 25-year run? Anything new coming to the Tavern on Rush concept when it opens in June?
Well, the beauty it's going to be, obviously, it's new space. But remember, bricks and mortar don't make a location. I've always said that Tavern on Rush was unique because it was about its clients, the customers who frequented it for the 25 years, and it was about the staff that worked there. So it's about people. Restaurants are about people. That'll give you all the buzz and all the excitement when you fill a place up with people. So we weren't that concerned about moving across the street or moving anywhere. The thing was that it's about the people who are going to frequent it, and people have been waiting for a long time and keep on asking, when is Tavern coming back? So it's coming back now.
And even with 25 years of experience and even with a long, storied resume across the Chicago entertainment space, do you anticipate having butterflies in the stomach as opening night approaches?
1,000%. You always have the butterflies, okay, as much as we would like not to have them. But this time is different. This time it's it's exciting. I'm not opening up a new place with a new name or some other. It's called Tavern on Rush. And, you know, no matter where you are in this city or even around the state, when somebody says, let's go to Tavern, and we know a lot of places have a name called Tavern at the beginning, but when people said, let's go to Tavern, they only want to go to one place. It was on Rush and Bellevue. So.
And then, once again, targeting a June opening. Do you have a specific date yet?
Sometime in mid-June. If everything, I just left the space now. They're working very diligently. The contractors are all on board. They're all showing up for work every day. And so we're shooting for this mid-June opening.
Phil Stefani, owner of the Stefani Restaurant Group and the restaurateur behind the second version of Tavern on Rush, opening in June, 1015 North Rush on the Gold Coast. Coming up, the estimates are out on 2024 sales for recreational and medical cannabis on Illinois. We'll break down the numbers next.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The research firm Whitney Economics out with its forecast for the recreational and medical marijuana sales in Illinois this year. Let's look at the numbers with the help of Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Rob. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, the forecast, again, this is a forecast for 2024, of a rise of 11.5% here in Illinois for cannabis sales to $2.2 billion from $1.96 billion. And that is in stark contrast to last year's growth, which was only 2.8%. So it looks like, cannabis sales should accelerate here in 2024.
So in other words, you can see clear skies to the haze in marijuana smoke.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of an increase. It kind of speaks to a couple things. First of all, the health of the consumer, which they are rebounding and showing that those signs in other industries in 24, and also the amount of new licenses that will come online for recreational use stores in the second half of 24.
Now, even if you do not partake, there are ways in which you can cash in as an investor on this expected boom in cannabis sales.
Sure, you got some public equity companies. You also have some ETFs. So I've always been an advocate on your show and elsewhere of MSOS, Michael Sam, Oscar Sam. That's an ETF for the U.S.-based companies, and it tracks them very well. And that's up about 30% already this year, but that's off of a much higher high about 3 years ago when the beginning of the Biden administration when it was thought there was going to be a lot of cannabis reform that really has not ended up coming to fruition. But that's the best way to do it if you want an overall sector, or you could play some of the individual names, some of them based here in Illinois.
And then once we just as you alluded to, this growth in the cannabis space is taking place essentially with the industry has one hand tied behind its back as far as scheduling of marijuana is concerned.
Exactly. So it's still a Schedule I narcotic, which means in the U.S. government's eyes, it's the same as heroin and meth. Now, cocaine is a Schedule II. So that'll give you an idea where cannabis lies right now on the scheduling. So, the Department of Health and Human Services has come out and said, please reschedule it. They've suggested it to DEA. The DEA is really the organization that needs to change it. If they do come out and reschedule it, we would expect it to be at least Schedule III, if not descheduled completely. And that would change things dramatically for the industry because it will allow for a lot of operating expenses to actually be deducted in taxes, which they can't do right now. So it's a huge thing to get some cannabis reform here that we've been waiting for the last 3 years from the Democrats when they took charge. And I do think it's going to happen, but it's now been 3 years we've been waiting.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A teenager is charged with a triple murder on Chicago's South Side last month. The federal government accuses Apple of being behind an illegal monopoly. It's Technology Thursday. Robots are becoming much more advanced in understanding human language and emulating human movements. More employers are being offered so-called dry promotions, in which workers get an upgraded title and added responsibilities, but not much in the way of additional money. WBBM Business. The markets are higher. The Dow is up 317 points. The NASDAQ up 105. The S&P 500 up 29. We have 36 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies, going up to 40 later today. Snow late tonight into tomorrow. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour. A 16-year-old is being charged as an adult in the murder of 3 people in Chicago's West Chatham neighborhood last month. He was arrested this week in suburban Hazelcrest. The shooting happened February 25th inside a home at 80th and Vincennes. This is Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling.
In moments, in just a few moments, he forever changed the lives of surviving victims and those he killed. He has to be held accountable, period. That simple. There is no excuse for anyone to reach this level of violence.
A 14-year-old boy was killed in the incident, along with 20 and 36-year-old men. A 17-year-old boy was wounded. The charges include multiple felony counts of murder and attempted murder. An antitrust lawsuit filed by the Justice Department in 15 states asserts that Apple exerts so much control over how apps are developed for the iPhone and Apple Watch that it makes it difficult for competitors. This is Attorney General Merrick Garland.
For consumers, that has meant fewer choices, higher prices and fees, lower quality smartphones, apps, and accessories, and less innovation from Apple and its competitors.
Apple, which has around a 75% share of the U.S. phone market, calls the claims baseless. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. The markets are higher once again today. Let's see what's boosting Wall Street with Ken Crawford, portfolio manager, Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Ken, thank you for joining us today. The rally began just as Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell was giving his news conference following their two-day policy meeting. Interest rates staying where they are, but clearly the markets liked what they heard.
That's right, Rob. I think coming into this meeting, you had a couple hot inflation readings, so some investors were worried that the Fed might back away from the expected 3 cuts for the rest of this year. And Powell, given that kind of intro, was perceived as dovish in tone.
And did Powell give himself a little bit of wiggle room that if economic conditions persisted, that maybe the 3 cuts could become 2 or 2 could become 1?
Yes, he did. I mean, he's been talking about data dependency for the last handful plus of meetings, and I think that always gives the Fed an out. I mean, you could say that's legitimate, because if if inflation data is hotter, the Fed should react. But to your point, yeah, he left the door open for a little bit of room.
Now there was a point in time, Ken, when Dow 36,000 seemed like such a lofty goal. People wrote books with that title about this imagined point in time. But now we're seriously looking at Dow 40,000. What happens if all of these predictions that are underpinning this rally don't come true?
Well, I mean, you can look at the valuation of the Magnificent Seven, which has kind of driven the most recent optimism in the market, and that group is actually trading in line with its relative valuation to the market. So I'm sure there are pockets where you've got a little irrational exuberance, but I think the market as a whole is reasonably valued today.
And then does the potential exist for this federal antitrust lawsuit against Apple? Does the potential exist for that to take some of the wind out of their sails?
Certainly. And I think one of the concerns or areas that investors are looking at closely is the strength of the regulatory response from the Biden administration. We really haven't seen this kind of action for the last decade plus. So if Apple were to be perceived as truly at risk, I think investors certainly would worry about Apple, and then they'd probably think about, what about Alphabet, aka Google? What about Microsoft? What about Amazon? Dot, dot, dot.
And how does that, you know, this lawsuit against Apple, in terms of its impact on the tech space, they say history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Are there any lessons that we could pull from the antitrust action against Microsoft 25 years ago? Does this compare?
Well, I mean, to be seen, but I mean, when you look at monopolistic actions on the part of the government, you mentioned Microsoft, there's Xerox, there's Alcoa, there's AT&T. I think academic research would say that it really has not been very effective. But certainly in the near term, people will watch this closely to see what could happen next, again, both for Apple and other tech-related companies.
Ken Crawford, Portfolio Manager, Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, the line between robot and human is becoming increasingly blurry.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. As robots continue their rapid evolution, they're taking on more human qualities. Let's learn the latest from Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And there are lots of practical applications for robots and robots powered by artificial intelligence. They can really remove the human element from dangerous work that could cause lifelong physical conditions, especially if you're lifting heavy objects. But where does the cool factor kind of sashay over into the creepy factor when it comes to AI-powered robots that look like human beings?
Well, I like your verb, Sasha, because that's exactly what these... I wouldn't describe what I've seen today in some video and yesterday in some video that I find, to be perfectly honest, shocking as sashaying, but these robots are moving. NVIDIA basically announced something called Project Groot, which is G-R-O-O-T, which is basically a generative learning robot. And the challenge for me watching this, I'm assuming it would be for anybody, is yes, of course, it's going to take away the danger in some certain tasks, repetitive tasks, warehousing tasks, all kinds of stuff. But what's really staggering is that thing is moving in response to human voice input. And what I mean by that is a person who theoretically runs this thing can speak to it. And what they're calling it is an embodied AI. In other words, AI technology using an NVIDIA chip that runs unbelievably quickly. And I can give you some stats on that in a second. But basically, it allows this robot to understand and interpret human direction and move around it as a result. And when you watch it, it is not a huge leap to see that or imagine that somehow in a slightly less benign setting. So that's what's a little creepy about it, is watching somebody tell a robot to jump over stuff and run around and have that robot understand.
So in other words, in Hollywood parlance, we have not developed C-3PO, we have not developed Commander Data from Star Trek, but NVIDIA might have perfected the robot that was serving Paulie in Rocky IV that could be told to go around the house and, hey, robot, go pick up the remote and hand it to me, that kind of thing.
That's basically correct, except for, you know, instead of the Roomba going around the house vacuuming, this is the robot going around picking up your groceries. I mean, it's that much of a leap. So, and by the way, this requires huge amounts of information going back and forth fast, as you can imagine, not only to understand spoken speech direction, but also to do things. And to have these robots, and I've seen lots of iterations in the NVIDIA video content I've seen in others, they've not surprisingly, and anybody who's seen this kind of footage has seen the much more delicate action of a robotic hand picking something up without breaking it, like an egg, and so on. That's possible, but it's the transformer engine that NVIDIA just came out to, 800 teraflops of 8-bit floating point AI performance. That basically it's hard to even describe how much information that is, but that's what's required. But the fact that it can now do it is scary to watch, for sure.
Now, what is the upper limit of artificial intelligence, even with that level of processing power? I mean, it's a great thing to develop a robot that you can say, hey, go make yourself useful and get me a beer. But what can it do beyond that?
Right now, I have a 15-year-old to do that. But I can tell you that the amount of data is far less than 800 teraflops. I can tell you just by looking in his eyes. But anyway, the amount of information going back and forth. What's interesting is that the tasks that you're going to be able to develop for these things is almost infinite. You sort of have to stop thinking of these things as robots and more as humanoid, which is what they're describing it as at NVIDIA, but humanoid moving assistants. And the thing that's different is the amount of thinking that's going on board is now interpreting for itself what it should do. Just like large language models, just like ChatGPT, it is going at finding more information and learning from it. So the result is these movements are truly serving you, but they are also verging on the autonomous. And that's what's interesting and slightly scary.
Paul Hochman, thanks for joining us today.
It's Money Conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A growing number of employers are offering workers what's known as a dry promotion. Let's find out what that means from Tessa White, author of the new book, The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, and host of the podcast, The Job Doctor Is In, based in Salt Lake City, Utah. Tessa, thank you for joining us today. A dry promotion, when I first saw that term, I thought the party celebrating promotion, you're just having like a Diet Coke or iced tea. But actually, it's a lot more, a little more disappointing, actually, when you think about it.
Yes, a dry promotion is when the company asks you to take on additional responsibility and gives you a promotion, in air quotes, without the accompanying pay that goes with it. And it happens a lot in corporate America right now.
Now, what should you as the employee do if you are offered that dry promotion? Should you grin and bear it or potentially leverage that into other opportunities that could be a little more lucrative?
Well, I would always try to ask my employer the question, if I take on this additional responsibility, is there a raise associated with it? And I would push for an increase, but you don't always get one, because understand this, companies are likely to give you what's free title over actually increasing their costs. And companies like to see results pay later. And knowing that if you push and still get a no, I think it's short-sighted to not take the opportunity, because an increase in title, if you can negotiate that, is worth about $8,000 to $10,000 to you. So it's delayed gratification, but it is going to show up on your resume and show another company that the company liked you enough to give you increased responsibility. And I would also, if they said no to my initial request for an increase, I would negotiate something middle of the road and say, in 3 to 4 months, what types of things would I need to accomplish, or what could we have the increase show up then? Because a company, again, would be more likely to give you a delayed a delayed promotion than none at all. So now, that's the way that I would play it.
Now, I was going to say, could they also come back to you and say, look, we can't pay you more, but how about an extra week of vacation? Or how about a few more personal days? Or what if we implement a bonus structure in which in your new title, you hit metrics X, Y, and Z, and then you get maybe like 10 grand, we'll call it a stipend.
Yeah, there's essentially 12 things you can negotiate with a company. And you've just named a couple of those. And companies love if-then proposals. If I do this, then will I get that? That's how boards structure compensation for executives. And so they really understand the if-then. I think that's a really good way to go. And I understand people, when it boils right down to it, I think right now with inflation, money is really important. And so you should... I think you should always make a run at getting the increase, even if it's in writing that it's 3 months down the road instead of today.
I think we all in our head imagine scenarios where we move up or move on in our career, where we go from our current situation into a perfect situation where you leave, there's a bright light, there's choirs of angels. No, you're not dying, but you're actually going to a much better job. But it doesn't necessarily work that way. So even if something is maybe disappointing on the surface, it's always an opportunity.
Well, it is. And I think today's generation is much more sensitive to the fact that if you give me more work, you have to pay me more. And I do understand that. However, you can't be short-sighted enough that you don't understand that when you get an opportunity to show a company you can do more and that you can succeed and get those results, rewards usually will follow. And I think you have leverage once you are able to succeed with that additional responsibility. You have leverage to ask for more. And so all is not lost if you accept a dry promotion, as long as you keep the company honest down the road and ask for the raise without continuing to accept additional responsibility over and over without the raise.
Tessa White, host of the podcast, The Job Doctor Is in Salt Lake City. Find her online at thejobdoctor.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.